episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
G'day, g'day.
Hello, hello. Hi, Beachy.
Happy weekend. I guess it is a weekend for you guys, right?
Happy Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. Well, today I'm going to say it's happy spray day. Jeez.
Well, you got the spray, yeah. You know,
easy.
Yeah, I want to hear about your moon babies and... you know what's going on down there.
Yeah, let's go. All right, welcome everyone. You are on truthmeets.com. It is coast to coast with Beachy and Verilicious. We also have D-Train there hanging in the wings. And it is Friday the 26th of September. Where has the year gone, Beachy?
I know, right? Well, it's been a while. Been a while since we've been on, so you know, I was having summer and you know, holidays and birthday parties and all kinds of stuff going on, but you guys were in winter, so
yes, we were in winter, but it wasn't really winter here. It was still warm. I mean, it's warm now coming into spring. It feels like summer. D-Train's down on the beach. He's going to cross. We're going to cross to him live right now. We can hear you.
Our beach correspondent.
Pretty busy down here. It's 29 degrees in the shade. That's Celsius. It's super busy because it's school holidays, not here in Queensland, but down in, I think it's Beno. Where is it school holidays, B?
School holidays here, Victoria. Who else has got school holidays at the moment? Oh, actually, no, everyone's on school holidays now. Everyone. It's today. So school holidays are for everyone. Northern Territory, Queensland, Victoria, New Zealand, New South Wales, South Australia, Tasmania and Western Australia. Yeah, so everyone is on holidays and everyone is coming to Queensland.
Going to the beach.
Going to the beach, exactly. Exactly. Not bad for a spring day, that's for sure.
We've been having some warm days too. I mean, we've had a rather cool summer for us, but it's, you know, it just started getting warm, like, you know, just this month basically. So we're kind of having our summer heat anyway, but today was, you know, we had rain. We've been having some little bit of rain here and there and clouds and something very interesting though happened, and we usually get rain around this time, so it's not that unusual. But it's fall. It's fall. It's officially fall. That was from the 21st. The equinox was 22nd. So, we're officially fall. However, you know, we usually have like they call it Indian summer up until probably, you know, mid-November before it starts, you know, going into any cooling down or quote unquote winter, if you call it.
Yeah.
So it's,
do you, get snow where you are?
Either. Say again?
Do you get snow where you are?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, if we get, you know, even hit the zero, you know, below freezing or whatever, we might get some hail or a, you know, like what they call frost.
Yeah, but so similar weather to what we have.
Yeah, we don't get snow. There's not a snow. But, you know, it can get cool, quite cold, but nothing like, you know, Canada or anything like that. So it's pretty moderate. But I do have a story that, say again, D-Train?
I said, it's funny, the last time I spoke to you, you were going to ski week.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was like, what, last week? This year has gone by so fast.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. So go ahead, Beachy, what were you saying?
So, okay, what so my weird things for weird stories today is, so a couple days ago, it was beautiful, clear, hot, sunny day. We were on our way to the beach, and there seemed to be like a lot of planes in the air, which, you know, for our area, it just blows my mind, you know, like you could, like, I was looking up, there was like three planes almost in the same area. I'm like, what is that about? But anyway, so I was busy looking at planes, and then my husband says, "Oh, what's that?" You know, and I'm like, "What?" Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't see anything. I didn't, you know, he said, "It looks like some kind of a string falling from the sky." And I'm like, you know, I'm looking. I didn't see anything. Anyway, long story short, you know, we go off. It's, you know, don't see anything. But I get home later that night. And one of my friends sends me a video from someone in Pacifica, which is like, I don't know, I would say at least 30 miles up the coast. And she's got a video of this thing. She said, look at what, you know, this other friend of mine sent it to another friend. And she sent it to me and she said, well, look at this, what she taped, you know, and you know, she caught it on video. And it just looked like this, like a piece of plastic that would come off of something like your packaging from your Amazon, you know, delivery or something, you know. It was just, you know, it was just kind of nondescript. And so then she said, oh, a bunch of people were reporting that they saw it too. So I'm guessing it wasn't just one thing. It was like kind of a whole, you know, something exploded in the air and, you know, the stuff just kind of floated down. And they were saying people saw it on the, you know, in the bluffs here and
so up was the coast it like too. Space junk?
Yeah, I was saying, well, maybe it's a satellite that exploded or I don't know. You know, I didn't have any. And then they said on the next door, they said it was spider webs, that spiders are, you know, they have their babies in the, or, you know, something about spiders. I'm like, okay, where are these spiders coming from? Are you kidding me? That's the most spiders ridiculous thing I ever heard. Right. Like the spiders are on the moon having babies and then they shoot them down to the earth. I don't think so. So that was crazy. And so some people said that the people that saw it here in my neck of the woods, out on the bluffs, and I went out yesterday and I told myself I was going to go look for it, but for some reason I went the other direction. I don't know, like, had a brain fart and I totally forgot about it. But the people that saw it hit the ground. The people that saw it hit the ground, they said it was sticky. So, you know, that's,
ew,
like a sticky substance.
That's like War of the Worlds thing. Phenomenal.
Right. It's like, okay, so like it's aliens. Is it aliens or, you know, I don't know. Nobody had an answer. And my friend, she's very, it's going to sound like she's a Karen, but she's just very determined and she does things, right? So she wrote a note to the county office and sent them the video and said, you know, many people saw this on the coast. What are you doing about this? Can you tell us what it is? And
she was like, we need demanding, to know right now.
Yeah. Demanding answers. So it was kind of funny, but yeah, that's her. Anyway, she, but you know, I don't think, you know, she got any answers. I'm pretty sure they probably just whatever. So that was the weird thing that was happening on my neck of the woods. But there is another thing that I wanted to mention though, before, you know, I know you have something you want to talk about, moon things that are washing up on the beach, but
yeah,
there is this other thing that has come up in my backyard here on the coast. They're saying that you need to be careful and watch your dogs when you go out to the beach, because there is this seal disease. The seals are getting like, I don't know, urinary tract infections or something like that. And their piss, if you step on it, they go on the beach and they piss. And if you you step on it or your dog steps on it, it can make you ill. Like, what terrible. The hell? That is like weird. That is so weird. I read about that and I thought, okay, that's got to be a joke, right? So, you know, sometimes, you know, the seals, the baby seals get, you know, away from their mother and they, something happens to them and they get washed up on the beach and then they, you know, they have to go and pick them up and I don't know what they do with them. Maybe they go take them back to where the seals hang out or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, supposedly one of these seals, you know, needed, was in distress and was on the beach. And my neighbor who, he goes out there like at 5 o'clock in the morning. So he saw this this seal, I guess, distressed. And so he called, you know, the people to come pick him up, whatever. And of course he put out on the next door, you know, don't go down there because, you know, that seal is probably sick and you don't want to, you know, get
get disease. Or anything
get the disease or your dogs, you know, to step on it and get the disease. Is that not crazy? I mean, it's like, do people really believe this shit? I mean, the seals piss in the ocean. And so what? You're going to like go in the water and you're going to get seal disease from
seal disease. But you know what's really funny about stuff like that is people don't even realize this. Like there are cruise ships out there that literally dump the poop, toilet stuff. Yeah, in the ocean. So what about the birds and
all the other fish that poo in the ocean? I mean,
come on. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things going on at the moment where, you know, they want you to be scared of everything. It's just crazy. Crazy train.
Lots of scary things that they want you to.
Yeah, we can talk about the scary stuff later. But I tell you what, talking about the things in the sky, at the moment, we're seeing a lot of spraying in the sky. Oh, we're losing you, D. No.
There's speckers all over the place.
Yeah, you're out there, isn't it? Aren't you? Yeah, he's just gone back off because it's pretty windy. I think it's really windy out there. It's very hard to, it's very hard to have our guy on the ground there.
Right. Tell us what's going on.
So okay, yeah, those spraying, it's crazy, but I must admit, it gives really good color for sunset and for the sunrise. Yes. I must admit, like the colors when they hit these clouds, because what happens is they stripe it and then the wind sort of picks it up and spreads it out and we get different and then it hits the actual clouds, real clouds, and then you get different cloud formations, but then the color will vary as well. But I don't know what's in them because sometimes when you look at the sun, there's like a iridescent halo from the sun and then it goes through into the actual cloud itself. But, you know, everyone talks about the whole, they go, oh, yeah, it's a conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. But I don't actually, I mean, I definitely think it could be a conspiracy. I don't think it's a theory. I think that chemtrails are probably a real thing. And there is such thing as weather manipulation and cloud seeding. There was in the 1950s. The British had one called Operation Cumulus. So that unintentionally resulted in the deadly flash floods in Lymouth in England. So, you know, if you go back the way, there have been a lot of experimentation. For what reason? Who knows? And, you know, things like the light radiation and reflecting things from space. I don't know if you ever watched The Big Bang Theory where the boys did the experiment where they were shining the laser to hit like a thing on the moon. and it was supposed to bounce back.
I think I remember that. Yeah, after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Coast to coast, you're on truthmeets.com. Almost forgot where we are. And it is 26th of September. Year is going, is flying. So no matter where you are in the world, some people say they can't see these trails. Some say they can. But, you know, it's an ongoing conversation with a lot of people. But I think when you can really see when it sticks to the sky, there's got to be something. You know, you can't just say it's a contrail. The difference between the chem and the contrails, they sort of tend to disappear after a while because they're like clouds behind the planes themselves. It's like, you know, if you were to put like a smoke machine, right? And then the smoke just dissipates normally. But this one is not dissipating at all. What it is, it's actually sticking to the sky. How does it stick like that and make clouds? Yeah. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it is very ongoing. But I think it does certain things. As obviously they say some say there's salt crystals they use. Some say there's aluminium and all sorts of stuff that gets sprinkled out there in the sky. There's heaps of things going on out there, the sulfate particles and stuff like that. Who knows? But I know that some days my hay fever gets really bad when the sky's like that. So there's obviously got to be something in there that's blowing around. And they happen to always do it when it's windy as well. It doesn't help. But either way, it's, you know, I can get good photos. That's all I
can. It makes for good sunsets. Yeah, there was a really pretty sunset last night.
And sunrise as well.
We did get a bunch of rain as a result. Like I said, it was perfectly blue skies, clear the one day, and then these things showed up, and then the next day we got rain on. So and it was pretty good downpour, and today it was cloudy again, and we had rain earlier, but it's not cold though. It's very humid and muggy, so
yeah, it's a bit like here. We have that mugginess as well, like humidity, and then it's very, when the wind hits, a chill factor as well. So it's quite bizarre. I don't know what is going on with the weather. There's all sorts of things going on. You know, we had a full moon not too long ago, another one, a red blood moon.
Yeah.
Now, these were supposed to be rare, right? Blood moon's supposed to be rare. Are you kidding me? We had like a blood moon like a couple of months ago. The Northern Lights, which we know as the, Australis Borealis, right?
Yeah.
The
Aurora Borealis.
What's going on there? It happened in April and it happened again in August. That's supposed to be rare as well. And that's not so rare. Yeah. Something's happening out there in space. What are they doing? Some
people are taking pictures, of lots of pretty colors in the sky. And they did say they took a picture in San Francisco that looked pretty, pretty colorful. But, you know, we're under the clouds most of the time. So it's like I saw nothing. I didn't see the moon. I didn't see any of it.
Poor you. Every time something comes up, I was waiting for the, and there was supposed to be a meteor shower as well, which we didn't see here as well because it happened to be cloudy. Yeah. Every time I was like, what's going on here? We did get to see the blood moon though. But I was like, this moon was the same. We had this same moon right after the cyclone as well. So there's obviously something happening with the seasons. I feel like there's been so much interruption globally as well. There's so many things happening out there. And storms from the ocean, like so many things are getting washed up. Our beaches are slowly recovering and then they're not recovering. You know, it's just a very, very slow process. But this time around, we've had all these jellyfish come back up getting washed ashore. We've got a lot of beautiful shells. I've been shell collecting. I found a beautiful pink one today. So I feel like I'm a little penguin, you know, going around and picking some really nice gems off the beach. And so these moon, it's called, I didn't know what they were called. So I had to, you know, use my phone and see what Google came up with it. And it's the moon jellyfish. And they're really beautiful little creatures, they are. Nice. And they change color. But unfortunately with jellyfish, with their, you know, if they just get washed up to shore, they do die. And these ones here, I think they may have got caught in like a storm and it might have been the season for them to, you know, poor things to be washed up. But there was quite a lot of them. And I did take, I think there's a few of us that have taken photos and the translucentness of them, that they pick up beautiful color. But when they're alive in the water, they change color. So they're like a, they glow in the dark. So they're bluminescent. So you've got, I think they go a bluey color and like a, almost like a reddish color as well. Not reddish, purpley color as well. Mm. So yeah. They're beautiful. Like there's a lot of beautiful creatures. There was like an alien, massive alien looking one, which had me laughing, like the full tentacles and everything. I was like, taking a wide berth off that one. Because so many people were looking at it and everyone's taking a wide berth, like, nope, let's wait for the, you know, the tide to come all the way up and pull it back into the ocean. And it looked very alien-like. It just reminded me of what happened not too long. I think it was earlier this year when we had the stingers and other jellyfish out in the water, and a lady went under the wave and came up and copped a full jellyfish like smack in the face, like a very alien thing. And she was stung, like it was right full face. Poor thing. I was like, I couldn't stop laughing because it's a terrible thing to happen. You don't ever want to get stung. But to be smack bang right in your face as you're coming up from under the wave, it's just like one in a million. You know what I mean? It's like one in a million.
That's like
shot.
A movie. That's a perfect movie
and
it, shot.
Yeah, and full like screaming and, you know, the whole thing. Oh, poor thing. But, and then I also found out there's all these other little things as well, which I thought were jellyfish. And over the years, everybody must have thought there was jellyfish because it came up on my news feed. They're just these little like half moon that look like jellyfish, but they're actually moon snail eggs. So inside this like jelly looking thing is like heaps and heaps and heaps of little baby snails. And I was like, moon snails. I'm like, I've never seen a moon snail, but I managed to find a moon snail shell today. It's already gone. Poor thing's dead. And it had like a crack in its shell, might have been in the ocean for a while. And I thought, oh, okay, they are around. The moon snail is around. And I was just reading up on them as well. But I was like, everything's back to the moon since the full moon. I was like, I don't know if that was a thing or it's just a coincidence. Well, or it just could be that time.
Yeah, there were, a lot of those astrology people have been talking about, you know, a lot of stuff around this moon, which, you know, I haven't really paid that close attention because it just seemed like more of the same. You know, it seems like they always say, well, the veil is lifting and you're just, you know, there's, you know, time to face your shadow self and, you know, clear out all the stuff that doesn't serve you anymore. So it's like, it's always that, you know, you kind of have to face your demons, so to speak. It's more, you know, shadow work or personal growth.
I think there's a lot of that. But I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, she was doing the Comic-Cons. So Brisbane had a Comic-Con, and then they stopped here on the Gold Coast for 3 nights, and then they were heading off to Sydney. So the Comic-Con in Sydney just finished off last weekend. And so she's from Melbourne, and we were just talking about how those times had affected a lot of us. And she said there's a lot of people going through it, and she was going through anxiety as well. And she said, I had that social thing going on as well, where because we were not able to be around people and socially, she said, we were all stuck at home, you know. And so she had joined doing Comic-Con to get out of her actual comfort zone from doing her regular day-to-day, raising the kids and all that kind of stuff. And now her daughters are teenagers, so she's got more freedom to move. And she said, it's really funny that when they had that period where no one was actually seeing each other and doing all that sort of stuff, and then things about, you know, what we had to do to get on with our life and all that kind of stuff really trapped people. And I said, do you think how this whole mental illness has come along is due to that? She said, yeah, it is. Because she said, how many times have people felt very anxious? And now we're seeing a lot of health problems. So she's got health issues, her sister's got health issues, everyone's got health issues at the moment. And it's not only just the mental side of it, the emotional side of it, but there's also a physical side of it as well. And yeah. A lot of the physical side of it is really targeting, you know, our health. So, and the heart health, especially the respiratory health, which it's shocking. I mean, as you know, I don't know, we had a friend recently pass away, had a heart attack, young,
yeah,
mid-40s. You know, it shouldn't be that way. And I heard on one of the fakeologists talk on one of their chats as well, they were going back to it, where there's a lot of people who have friends and family members are going through health struggles right now as well. You know, and everywhere you look now, you know, someone's got an issue, whether it's respiratory or it's heart related. So it's crazy that people still will continue to say, you know, to follow a direction. And for me, it's like you really have to start thinking for yourself why these things are happening. And also you need to start looking at making it better. There's too many, from my experience of late, because I've had to deal with people who have had high anxiety, who have had like severe emotional breakdowns to the point where you just are helpless, because you can't even bring them out of it. Like, they really need help, like medically, I think. So it's very draining as well. And to see a lot of people that you know go through it, it takes a toll. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, where you're just like, you've got to start looking after yourself. You really got to start saying no to things and really looking into it. Don't just accept that this is it. This is going to be it. Like, if the doctors, I'm going to say it, the doctors, if they're going to prescribe something that you don't need, they're getting a kickback. This is still happening. Don't, you know, it's, yeah.
I think, like what I was just saying, you know, the Schumann resonance, which, you know, I've been, you know, even though I don't follow the astrology, the Schumann resonance thing, they say is pretty powerful right now. And that also, they say, is causing people to have a lot of anxiety. And I think it's because, you know, like how we say things are just speeding up. It seems like everything, it's going so fast. Everything's changing. Things are kind of, you feel off balance because there's so much going on, all this news, all this, you know, too much information coming down the pike constantly, and everybody's in flux, you know, because there are, you know, things that are happening, things that are coming to the surface that we are, you know, maybe we have known, like we have known about these things, but maybe they are just finding out. So it's a little like the, you know, the world a is shock. Falling. You know, like the foundation is falling out from under their feet, you know, and that's, you know, that's anxiety producing that, you know, kind of keeps people a little
and there's
worried.
And there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things that are happening worldwide that really don't affect your day-to-day life. You know, things that are happening, you know, in the US where you are, Beachy, things that are happening here in Australia. I mean, really what happens in the US doesn't really affect a lot of people here. And then whatever happens in Australia won't really affect you guys over there. You know what I mean? Especially when they start playing things on the news. And now, you know, my thoughts on the news is now is that they just need ratings, basically, you know, so they've become like another TV reality TV show. Because is some of the news true or not? I mean, some of our local news,
I do have something along those lines. There is something, and you know, it's all connected though, really. And I really would like to get into this because it is not just something that affects America. It does affect everybody pretty much around the world, in as much as America does have a lot of influence. Number one, people like to watch American TV, news, propaganda, whatever. So it does affect everyone in the world because they're getting the same messages, they're getting the same programming, so to speak. So just for example, here's something interesting that I don't know that. Well, first of all, you know, and this is my observation. It's not necessarily a political whatever, but you know, since we've had Mr. Trump, President Trump, in office, the news media. It's very alarming to me because, you know, when you have a president, like they give him no respect. It's like they're dogging him constantly. I mean, it's like, okay, we had Joe Biden who was up there, you know, barely able to get a sentence out. And nobody, I mean, everybody gave him complete respect. Obviously people made fun of him and stuff. And it was, but yet they still, you know, gave him the respect that, you know, he's a president, right? But they are just constantly dogging on the Trump. It's like extreme, no wonder people have Trump derangement syndrome because, and it's not just that they're, politically, you know, whatever. The things that they report are totally, sometimes totally not true. It's like they're making it up. It's like, or if they report in a twist, like they totally, you know, just like, you know, back when he was first, when COVID first started and they said, oh, he told everybody to drink bleach, you know, I mean, that was like a total, you know, misrepresentation of what he was saying. And it still continues.
One thing that someone says and then it goes viral. Like the lies.
No. It's not even one. Every single news station repeats it because that's what they do. So it's like, and it's like that with every single story I'm noticing. Like he will put out like, okay, you know, he signed this particular order or he's trying to make this law come out and they will twist it. They will make it sound like it's totally horrible. For example, here is one thing that I know that nobody's heard about. So there's this law that was created back in the, I believe it was either the 40s, like around the time of the war. And it was, I can't remember the politician who put it through, but basically, because we were in war, they wrote, it was called the Smith-Mundt Act. And it was saying that the media could lie about stuff. Oh, after the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
Are we back?
We are back. Go ahead, okay. Beach.
Okay. So again, so this law was written that the media could lie because we were in a war. They could lie because, you know, as a matter of national security, because they didn't want the enemy, quote unquote, to know, you know, anything about what our next move was going to be. It was like a, you know, like a military type thing where it was a war tactic, right? So they could lie and say they were going to, you know, not do something and then do it or whatever, you know, to the international, you know, public, right? However, they could not lie to the American people. That was part of the, you know, the deal was, you know, they can create their little, you know, false flag stories and, you know, what have you, because, you know, there was a lot of that going on, as there is still today. However, so this law was written way back then. And then when Obama came into power and, you know, his reign, he actually updated that. And he actually wrote in that they could lie to the American people. It was okay, no problem, whatever. For what reason? I don't know. But nobody ever heard about it. We never got, obviously, since they gave them carte blanche to write whatever they wanted to, obviously they didn't even have to tell us about the stupid law that he made. Well, that has been in play since, you know, his administration. So, you know, go figure. Not to say that we haven't had false flags before that or anything, but now it was like, you know, carte blanche, you know, free, have at it, right? Well, now Trump is writing, he actually signed a, he's changing that. He is saying, no, this is not okay anymore. We're not doing this. This is, you know, so of course, you know, they either A, probably won't report on it, or because they'll just not say anything, which, you know, they're not lying. But again, if they don't have anything good to say, or, you know, they have dropped a lot of stories where they just won't even, they won't even report on it. So we'll see what happens. This was just a couple of days ago that he signed this thing. And that's interesting to see, because here's another thing. So another of his executive orders that, of course, nobody, you didn't hear about it in the news because nobody reports anything he does that's, you know, something they don't want to hear, whatever. But he put into these two executive orders. One was, if you do anything against America, you know, foreign, you know, whatever, it's treason, right? If you're doing something that harms America or Americans, it could be called.
Yeah, I think Australia has something like that as well.
For treason. Yeah. And so also he did another one that said, and if you are found guilty for treason, all your assets can be taken away. So, you know, that's a pretty, you know, that's, you know, some pretty harsh punishment there. But again, that's like national security, you know, it's like that's protecting your country, right? Like, you know, if you guys have it, yeah, you know, that's something you should, every country should not want somebody to come and, you know, do harm to their citizens, right? So, you know, we'll see how, if that changes what you know, the media is putting out there. So, and like I said, it affects the whole world. So I, you know, it would be,
the whole world's watching because,
you
know, America is part of that. You're a superpower country, you know?
Exactly.
And at the moment, that's where everybody sort of turns to and has a look at what's going on in the world. Well, but I was just in check your fact in regards to that thing for Obama. The fact check was the claim that Obama signed a law making it perfectly legal for the media to purposely lie to the American people has circulated since at least 2019 and recently resurfaced on social media. Thanks to Obama, it is perfectly legal for the media to purposely lie to the American people, reads the message. He quietly signed a law to H.R. 4310 in 2012, allowing propaganda to be used on the citizens of the USA by its own government, essentially repealing the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, banning the use of domestic propaganda. And then it carries on to saying about the H.R. 4310 refers to the National Defense Authorization Act for the fiscal year of 2013, a bill that outlined the budget and expenditures for the Department of Defense for that fiscal year. Obama signed it into law in January 2013, according to the White House press release, and a search of the law's text turned up no clause about what traditional private news organizations can or cannot publish. So the post was likely referencing a change to the legislation made to the U.S. Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948, a law also known as the Smith-Mundt Act, is what you're talking about, that authorized and sets rules around the dissemination of information from the U.S. government-funded media outlets like Voice of America, according to the U.S. Agency for Global Media. The U.S. Agency for Global Media broadcasts news and information about the United States and the world to audiences abroad, as per the USA.gov. That's interesting, though, isn't it? And what did you say? So there was a thing that your current president is going to sign, right?
Well, he's already signed it. I think
he's already signed it
the last couple of days. Yeah.
Mm.
Which, you know, like I said, again, that does affect because you know, your stories can come from the AP or Reuters. There's only six media outlets that, I mean, they all, well, I shouldn't say there's only six, but they all,
the main ones, they all go up into those six.
Yeah, and some people say it's actually three, so it's really tight.
And that's the thing too, I think we've also seen in the news where you know, a prime minister or a government official or someone has been saying something and then they'll put next to that another clip of another government official from another country saying the same thing and another government official from another country saying the same thing and another, do you know what I mean?
Right,
so it's like a script, so to speak, has been circulated around for what purpose, you know? Now the whole thing that another word aside from the conspiracy theories that we hear around is psyops. The psychological operations, yeah. And, you know, we often hear this as well. It's like, oh, it's a psyop, it's a psyop, that's a psyop, this is a red flag, this is that, da-da-da-da, right? And people really get into what is happening around the world and want to break down that this is not real, this is just a stage act. Why are they doing this? You know, what? Why with these operations and why is it continuing? It obviously started very early on, and what is the point in doing it, you know? At the top, I'll just quickly go through. I was having a bit of a look actually yesterday, because at the moment there are these viral conspiracy theories which are online now, are currently online, right? And since we've had technology, we've had this technology in our hands, it's just flown off the charts with what is going on. Because before, you know, it was the newspapers or radio would be the thing. The news, we still had news. Television, what, didn't come until when, about the 50s or something? So it was, or 60s. So that was a new type of entertainment, you know what I mean? So entertainment back in the day would have been maybe a bit of radio, a bit of gossip, you know, the locals. You get together with the locals, have a bit of gossip. But, yeah, so these conspiracy, what they say, these conspiracy theories, apparently the top 20 at the moment has been about QAnon, which has resurfaced, Project 2025 and the shadow government, Biden's health, again, the Clinton body count theory, FOGVID 24, the chemical fog bioweapon, which I never heard of this. I was like, what is FOGVID? Like, and then we had the Super Bowl predictive logos, the NBA draft lottery, the 15-minute cities are out about control, not convenience. The great replacement theory goes mainstream. Reptilian shapeshifters still run the world. That's one of my favorites, actually, since, you know, V's been around that TV series for a long time. But, you know, but according to certain people, we have reptilian people that live around here. Maybe that was the one that fell out of the sky. Oh, Beachy. I mean, you know, could have been that thing. Could have been
their
like
babies,
a,
right?
That yeah, was their reptilian baby. Yeah.
Is that going to like come to life in my
Oh, who knows? Home? Who knows? Well, this is part of the. So if you guys are interested for a bit of a, you know, just for a bit of a laugh, I mean, stupiddope.com has this. You know, FEMA camps are ready for martial law. That's everywhere. That's everywhere. Chemtrails make a comeback. Here we go. Although it's been debunked, but, you know, I'm like, there's no debunking on that. That's pretty real about weather manipulation. Artificial intelligence is controlling public opinion. Now, we actually had a chat about this on one of our early shows. If you guys who are listening on our Coast to Coast, on truthmeets.com, go into Coast to Coast and have a look at some of the titles Beachy and I have talked about. But we have talked about things online that can be manipulating. Like we were talking about the shopping conspiracy and how we like to shop and all that kind of stuff. But there's also other stuff on there. And the AI one from memory, one of our AI ones, was not uploaded because it didn't record. Remember, Beachy?
I was going to say, I think we lost that one.
That was a good one. So whoever was listening that movie day, that was a great one. Yeah, that was a really good one. Okay, what are we? Let's keep going here. We're almost there. The vaccine conspiracies remain persistent.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, here's another one.
All right.
Well, here's another one of the things I want to talk about.
Well, I'll stop at this one, but we'll go through the other ones as well. But we'll stop at this one because I'm going to read what it says here about, though vaccines have played a key role in combating global health crisis, conspiracy theories around their safety and purpose continue to thrive. Popular ideas include microchip tracking, infertility agendas, gene editing via mRNA technology, new variants, and updated vaccines only seem to reignite these fears rather than dispel them. Okay. This is continuous. This is since the pandemic days. This is still gripping everybody.
Right. Well, it's still in the news, like I said, and just recently, again, out of America, and I don't know if you guys have gotten this because it's pretty big news. Our RFK Jr. and President Trump have come out officially, and because they said they were looking for the cause of autism.
Ah, yes.
Have you seen that at all? Basically,
no, I haven't
now,
seen it.
They are. They're starting low with this because, you know, obviously everybody's going to freak when they hear, I mean, how bad the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry has, you know, been proliferating, basically poison to all of us. But so what they said was they have found, you know, the cause of autism is Tylenol. Tylenol given to babies, you know, when they're little, or pregnant mothers taking Tylenol in their during their pregnancy. Now, of course, everybody flipped out. The mainstream media twisted it and said, just taking Tylenol, you know, is they made it up. They're not, you know, they're they have no studies behind it. And yet, they did have a study from Harvard that actually they did say that women who took Tylenol when they were pregnant, their babies had a higher percentage of autism. They also had the Tylenol people also had like they knew about this. They wrote it on their box. If you're pregnant, you know, which a lot of medications say, if you're pregnant, you know, consult your doctor right before taking this medication, right? So of course the news media screamed and hollered and everybody's having a conniption, but there's, you know, again, a lot of people are upset because they're saying, no, you know, it's not implicating the vaccine. But they also were saying, you know, that all the children who are Amish born, which, you know, the Amish are kind of a population that, you know, they live, they keep to themselves. They eat, you know, they don't eat processed food. They're very healthy. They grow what they eat. They keep to themselves and they do not take vaccinations. They don't take pharmaceuticals. I don't even think they see doctors or whatever, but there is no evidence of autism in their communities and none of them take a vaccine. And they have also found that there's not one child who has autism is an unvaccinated person. So they have the evidence in front of them. And yet, you know, they still have to backpedal this, but Trump and RFK came out and said it in a press conference. They laid it all out. So they did not back down. They actually, you know, said that the combination, because there was even somebody in Silas's server, I think it was Not Shocked, who said when his children were young that the doctors told him to give the child Tylenol before the vaccine to head off any, you know, fever or, you know, discomfort the vaccine.
Is your Tylenol actual paracetamol?
Okay.
Is it what it is? Well,
here
because we
is
have
another.
In Australia, we have Panadol, which is paracetamol. Right. So it's like 500 milligrams of paracetamol, which, you know, the doctors tell you to take that generally. It's a general medication.
Yes. Acetaminophen is the Tylenol, whatever the.
The ingredient.
The pharmaceutical name other than, you know, Tylenol. I don't know the brand. I guess it's acetaminophen. Yeah. And I also have, did I save this? So you have the Tylenol basically, or the acetaminophen is what they call. So, but Tylenol is the pill, right? But there's also like a bazillion other medications over the counter and prescribed that have acetaminophen in it. And, you know, there's like a huge list. It's like your Claritin. It's like your NyQuil. It's in the, cough syrups. It's in a lot of products. So it's not just the pills themselves, the painkillers, whatever.
Yeah. You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And, you know, again, it's like, it's, I think it's just the, basically the dam is breaking. I mean, it's just all this stuff is coming out, like, you know, the fire hose has been turned on. So, what else was I going to say? There was something else about this Tylenol thing. Oh yeah. So there was a class action lawsuit that they brought in 2023. You know, and they had, you know, lots of doctors who were ready to testify, and they had their studies and their, data. And, some judge decided it was that they weren't gonna hear the case, and they just, you know, just disregarded it, or they, I don't know, whatever it is they do to like just say, you know, no, we're not even gonna hear that. So
yeah,
it's out there. It's been out there for a long time. I mean, I can remember even, you know, many years ago there were, just in general, that they were saying don't give Tylenol to your children, to your young children. So I mean, that's got to be at least 20 years. So you know, and I don't know, unless they're it's kind of weird, because before that, I mean, everybody, Tylenol, take it for, you know, whatever, take it for your period, take it for your headaches, take it for your fevers, you know, whatever.
It's saying to me here that it's a paracetamol, which is what we have Panadol here. It's a non-opioid analgesic, but it has obviously other stuff in it, and try to find it. I just tried to go into PubChem, which is a website from the States, and it's like it's given me a 503 error. So everybody is interested in finding out what this is, what it is, and what's going on.
Interesting.
But you know, even I remember Mum saying when we were, she used to say, you know, when we, her mother, so my grandmother used to say, you know, there was not taking any vaccinations, not taking anything, any drugs, not eating shellfish or not eating certain foods when you're pregnant, you know, just to make sure that your baby is in the best health. But now it's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite of everything. It's like they're giving the mothers immunizations while they're pregnant, and then like when the baby comes out, not even 6 months, like it needs all these vaccines. Like, what the hell is going on? Or I should say immunizations. But a baby hasn't actually fully developed its immune system yet. So how's it supposed to receive all this stuff and its body cope with it, you know? The foods we have as well. You know, Mum used to make a lot of our food, and it goes back to my grandma and all that kind of stuff, where that you would find out what babies eat and, you know, make all the different foods. But now there's a big industry to make baby food. You know, we don't know if it's good food or if it's junk food or all that kind of stuff as well. So it's, yeah, all these things, I think, to me, it feels like it's common sense. Also, and the things that we had learned from back in the day, from say my grandmother, your grandmother, our you know, your great grandmama, all that sort of stuff, the whole, you know, the midwives from back then, all that, everything was so different. I was talking to a lady yesterday I bumped into at the beach, and she's in her 70s, and she was saying to me how food has changed a lot too. And just to try and get, we were talking about fish and everything because she used to collect shells and make stuff. So we got to start talking about like the ocean and all that kind of things, and then fish. And you know, she said even to buy fresh fish, like fresh caught fish, is difficult these days because a lot of the fish has been already frozen, you know, from where they catch it, unless you freshly catch it like right off the pier or right on the beach sort of thing, you know. Yeah, but even the farmed ones have got chemicals in them, like they feed them pellets of certain things, you know, so they don't get it's like they feed them like an antibiotics, and they feed them like, I don't know, color pellets, especially the salmon, to keep their color going and all that kind of stuff. So it's all got to do with marketing and stuff like that. It's crazy to think that, you know. And then they're going back to now all this. Now we recognize this is happening. This is what's causing this, and this is what's causing this. But you think it's the day and age of where we live and how we live as well. You know, so it's the combination of, you know, everything comes down to money. So, the pharmaceutical companies have to make money. You know, if we do something to the foods, people are going to get sick. They're going to need more medicine. We're going to rely on the doctors, boost up the doctors for this, that, da, da, da. They're just creating a healthy environment, you know.
Going back to the, they also, like I said, this is, you know, again, all in the same press release, you know, or whatever, you know, they were talking about, they were even calling out all the different vaccine schedule, you know, because it's like you said, you know, these babies are getting plugged, you know, constantly with, I think they said something like there's 70 vaccine, up to 70 vaccines in their first 3 months. I mean, that is like wild. And so they were just calling out a few of them, like the,
yeah, I think there was a big thing about the hepatitis B. It's why would a baby need a hepatitis B? Exactly. Like, that is sexually transmitted disease. Seriously. Yeah.
Yes, it's a drug user.
It's the one that sort of,
Go ahead, D-Train. Sorry.
The hepatitis B one is the big one that sort of kind of gets everyone to think about it.
Right, and they mentioned that one. They mentioned the measles. They mentioned the MMR, which, again, a lot of these vaccines, it's like they're 3-in-1. It's like, what, again, it's like, but
You know what's interesting about that, Beachy? The MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella, I had that when I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I remember that was on the school schedule or was on some weird schedule where before the girls hit puberty, that was to help us, you know, because our bodies are going to develop, we're going to become mums, so that was going to help us for later when we were going to have kids and all that kind of stuff, right? So I think I got that when I was 8, to be honest, because it would have been preteen that you would have got it. So when you think about all that sort of stuff, we had certain immunizations when we were children as well, whether they were injected, took them orally. So it's quite strange because I never thought about all this sort of stuff, because to me, I just accepted the fact that, you know, maybe it was to boost my immune system. You know, I used to travel overseas. I would get, I had the typhoid injection. I had, obviously the tetanus, you know, I've had, hepatitis A, hepatitis B. And then I only ever took one flu years and years ago, which knocked me out for 3 days. and Never Again. So that's been over 20 years since I touched that one. And I think my last, my very, very last one that I had was probably just before D-Train and I got married, would have been one when we travelled overseas, and that would have been my
That was when we went to the Africa trip.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't get the yellow fever. I got an updated tetanus.
And a
hep C.
Yeah.
So that was over 20 years ago. So they were my last, very last vaccines that I ever had.
Well, and again, what do you call it? All these babies are getting these like when they're little. I mean, it's like
what do you need them for? They don't need them,
right? And like tetanus, like you were saying, tetanus, like the tetanus again. It's three. They give something called Tdap. It's tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. What does tetanus have to do with diphtheria or pertussis? The whooping cough. You don't get a whooping cough from a rusty needle, or what do they call the tetanus? Nail. Which again, it's not. Why do you need a vaccine? It's not contagious. It's not something you can catch.
But I've heard adults having to take the whooping cough vaccine.
Right. The whooping cough was
to be around their children, or just babies, about their wife about to give birth or something. Scare. I'm like, what's going on there?
Exactly. So again,
most people have the vaccines when they're in the hospital because they go to the hospital, right? Now, once you enter a hospital, you're subject to their policies and procedures, right? And it's a big deal for you to opt. You can't just decide once you're in a hospital that you want to leave and you've had enough treatment. I know because I've been through that ordeal, right? And well, we did, and I ended up walking out with a gaping wound because I didn't want to follow the procedure that they prescribed for me. The same with the baby. If you go as a pregnant woman to the hospital to give birth, they won't let you leave the hospital without those vaccines on that schedule. That's part of their policies. They won't even let you eat, and car seats are as well. They won't let you leave the hospital with the baby unless you have the correct baby capsule in your car. The products, it's got to be approved. Everything's got to be certified and approved by the hospital's legal team.
Exactly. They've taken over a lot of things. Here's one more thing that is extremely upsetting. Everyone, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you something horrific. You know how you know about organ donation? Donation is
you can choose
not
to have that on your license, apparently.
Yes, if you decide you want to donate your organs in, you know, your quote unquote declared brain dead, or they tell you that you're already dead. In order to get to harvest those organs, you have to still be alive. And a lot of times, if you're in a bad car accident or something and they declare you brain dead, you're not actually dead yet. And they will start carving those things out, and they will not give you any anesthesia. They will not, it's like you're still alive, and there have been people that have, woken up or, I don't know, come out of their coma or whatever when they were, in the process of doing this, to them. I mean, it's part of their protocol, and your people, like say, D-Train took in Verilicious and she had the little dot on her driver's license. You could say, they don't ask you. They will just go ahead and do it. They will declare her brain dead, and then they will take the organ, and that's that. And of course, if you don't have your organ, you're going to die. So it's just, that is their protocol. That is how they do organ donations. So
those horror stories have been circulating for years. Also the ones that they limit the treatment that they give you if you have that as well, because they want the organs. That's their priority once they're, So,
because they're making money off of that.
Yeah, well, you put yourself into a lot of danger by having that little dot on your driver's license. They don't do that here, I don't think, though.
I think you actually have a you have to go on a list.
You have to go on a special list and all that.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's really crazy because everything comes down to money and, like, whatever it is, it's all to do with money. Money, power maybe, but, I mean, for what purpose? I mean, it's just, to me, it's just evil. Blows it's my just mind that but they're the same. It's the same it's thing the when same people thing. Are trying to... Am I echoing off something, am I? It's the same thing. It's like when you just look at people who are just cruel, that will be cruel to animals and, you know, cruel to children and cruel to people in general. Like, it's just the cruelty factor, you know. It comes down to there's no love for other people. There's no respect. I mean, for them, do they not have any respect for themselves? They have no love for themselves. Do they not have any integrity? Nothing. There's nothing in it. And, you know, and it's not new. This is not new. I mean, there was barbaric people, you know, way back when. It's, but now they're just doing it in a more subtle way. And they're using, I feel. It sounds like they're just using the hospital system. I mean, you know, for every little problem, would you want to get it cut out? I have heard of so many people, we'll cut this. We'll take a skin sample. We'll do this. We'll do that. Why would you do that? Like, for every little thing, it's, yuck. I just can't. I mean, how do you get pulled to the doctor? Well,
I have a friend who had a toe injury, or like it was a puncture on her toe, and this was during COVID that she went in, and of course they wanted to take a test, and you know I can't remember if they had had vaccines at that point, but anyway. They barely wanted to touch her, you know, they were like just being miserable to her and totally told her, you know, that they couldn't do anything unless, you know, they took a test or something like that. And anyway, long story short, so she just left after they wouldn't do anything. She was there for like almost 24 hours and they still wouldn't do anything. They didn't clean it. They basically put a Band-Aid on it and that was it. So a few years later, she had to go back to get this addressed because it was not, you know, healing properly. And it was kind of needing some, you know, I can't remember what she said, but again, she went in and this time it was like, well, are you vaccinated? No, you're not vaccinated. Well, you know, we need to give you a vaccine before we can do anything. And it's like, you know, I don't think so. You know, she continually said no. And then they said, well, okay, then we're going to have to do surgery on it, you know, and if we find that it's, you know, gotten too far up the bone, then we may have to amputate. And she's like, what? You know, and
More money.
Of course.
Ching, ching,
yeah.
Ching.
And then, and then the next another doctor comes and she said, I'd like another opinion, you know, and they said, you know, and so they brought in another doctor who said, oh, yeah, we agree. And she's like, I didn't say another opinion from one of your doctors. I meant another opinion from another, you know, outside place. Anyway, the doctor comes in and says, well, if you're not going to let us do this, then, you know, never, you know, we're not going to touch you, right? They still were trying to get her to vaccinate. And So then the next day they come in and they said, well, you know, it looks, from what we can tell, we're going to have, they kept saying, oh, we're going to have to amputate. And then they said, we might have to take your whole foot. And then they were saying, well, you know, it's possible we could take your, we might have to take your whole leg. I mean, they just kept going further. Goodness. I mean, it was just
further up.
Horrible. And she was there for several days before, you know, they would even do anything.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com. You're on Coast to Coast with Beachy, Verilicious, and D-Train. Beachy, finish off your friend's story. Well, did she make it out of this hospital? Or what's
yes. Well, yeah. I mean, just to make the point, you know, they just have these protocols, you know, and they send in, you know, different people and they all tell you, you know, some horror, you know, they got to tell you, scare you to, they're trying to scare you. Well, if you don't do this, you know, blah, 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 you know, and anyway, yeah, long story short, she did make it out. Okay. They did some, you know, sort of, you know, they took care of it and they didn't cut off anything. And, you know, it was all good, but you know, she was there for like freaking 8 days while they, you know, just kept telling her all this BS. And, you know, she just kept, you know, her, she knew she, you know, had to have something, you know, I can't even remember what it was she had to, what had to happen or whatever, but still it was just like, just trauma. They just,
yeah. What happened to this, the Hippocratic Oath, hypocrite?
I know, the right?
Oath that the doctors, you know, because there was a time when they actually really cared before the dollar signs came up. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I was just about to say, it was the industry that that killed that.
Yeah.
But it's we have a friend, a distant friend, not a, I wouldn't say they're close friends, but we see them on a semi-regular basis. I mean, the couple, the girl, she's in her 20s, she'd be late 20s at the oldest. I mean, she's been diagnosed with breast cancer and they want to give her a double mastectomy. I mean, it's like, oh my God, like, I mean, she's beautiful and they're completely healthy and there's nothing wrong with them, right? And just to do that, and she'll get the plastic surgery and all that. So, but it's just, she won't be able to breastfeed or any of that sort of stuff. What a terrible diagnosis. You'd want to get 3, 4, 5, 6 different opinions before you get through with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty,
yeah, for a, like, for a small,
that's
lump,
major trauma.
They're not even confirming the lump whether or not it's a cancer. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
a lump could be a cyst, it could be a little
be
bit
anything,
of scar tissue,
yeah,
it could
right,
be anything. So it's just,
well,
a,
what
it's
about
just crazy.
The people that they tell, oh, well, your mother had breast cancer, so you're going to get
course,
it too.
You're,
you know,
you're,
and
yeah,
it's the
same
off,
thing,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, right. Yeah. You're in danger of getting it potentially, so let's just save yourself the trouble. Have the surgery,
yeah, exactly,
now. It's the,
well, yeah,
most ridiculous thing ever.
And
but
that's,
the,
yeah,
why,
and they're finding that
earth,
that's not true either. Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
total,
why on earth would a $1 trillion industry do research and work to put itself out of business? I don't think so. The opposite.
No.
So.
No.
Okay, so going back to my list, I remember I told you I have a list of everything that has acetaminophen in it. Of course,
mm-hmm,
there's, yep, Tylenol. That's the most well-known brand name, but Excedrin, it has acetaminophen with aspirin and caffeine. NyQuil, a cold and flu medication that includes acetaminophen for pain relief. DayQuil, similar to NyQuil, but formulated for day use. Advil, dual action, combines ibuprofen and acetaminophen for enhanced pain relief. So you get double pain, mm-hmm, relief there. Painkillers.
Double dose.
Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
Alka-Seltzer Plus, which is acetaminophen for cold and flu relief. That's a some formulations.
It's called
Midol
Relief Plus brain damage.
Right. Liver damage. Yeah, Midol, often used for menstrual pain. Some versions contain acetaminophen. Aspirin-free Excedrin contains acetaminophen and caffeine. Bayer, back in body, combines acetaminophen with aspirin.
Bayer? They make... Insect... Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
well,
keep going.
No problem. Aleve D, some formulations include acetaminophen for added pain relief. Tylenol extra strength, a higher dose of acetaminophen for most severe pain. Advil PM, acetaminophen along with, oh God, I'm not going to be able to say this one, diphenhydramine. Okay, and then you have Zyrtec for allergies, mm-hmm. Sudafed, Robitussin cough and chest congestion.
That's a big one. They used to have the big ads here for that.
That's child medicine, isn't it? Doesn't that help you sleep or something?
Yeah.
And Vicks DayQuil, Benadryl allergy plus congestion.
Oh, Claritin, that was my favorite, Benadryl. Beautiful.
Claritin D.
Yeah, might not have the chemical in it, though, because the active ingredients are different.
Yeah.
It has. Okay, yeah. But, okay, so now here's the prescription ones. Percocet is a combination of oxycodone, codeine, and acetaminophen. Tylenol with codeine for more severe pain. Floracet contains acetaminophen. Vital and theme for migraines, Vicodin.
BT, you're going digital. They're not liking your list.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm red.
Yes.
Huh. Oh. Okay, there it is. Okay.
They're cutting your internet.
Okay. Lortel. Another combination of hydrocodone, Norco, which is similar to Vicodin, combines
Illegible.
Can't hear it.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
just started during the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Percodan, Roxyset, Coset, fentanyl, and Tramadol. Oh, geez.
Tramadol?
There's a whole shit ton more.
Yeah. All right. Well, somebody was trying to shut Beachy up, so.
And Mucinex.
It was
hilarious.
Salminex. Okay, and then there's a whole list of pediatrics here. Children's Tylenol, infants Tylenol, children's Motrin.
The list goes on and on.
I can remember, and it's been a few years, but at least 10, maybe even 20 years where they came out and did say, you know, don't give Tylenol to children. Of course, they always tell you not to drink alcohol with Tylenol because you can get liver damage.
They actually give kids alcohol, you know, gripe. Gripe? You know, when children get colic? When they have the stomach, right? Okay. Huh. Yeah. So my nephew, I remember when he was young, he's 17 now, but when he was baby, he got colic. And my sister-in-law gave him, I think it's called gripe.
Yeah, it is.
And I looked at it and I said to her,
2% alcohol.
You're giving your baby alcohol. I go, you might as well have just put some whiskey on your finger and rubbed it on his gums.
And she goes, what do you mean?
And I go, do you even read the ingredients? I go, man, that's got alcohol in it. You're giving your baby alcohol. And she was cracking up laughing. She goes, forget about giving it to the baby. Give it to me. And I'm like, for sure. Like, what's going on? So yeah, unless you read the actual ingredients and understand what the ingredients, you have, I don't think we even have any idea what are the, some of the things we ingest, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Contributing factors to a lot of things in our health. Tons of things. But, you know, the other thing that is a huge, huge medical industry problem is the whole, you know, when they prescribe you stuff and, you know, everybody's got this cocktail, you know, and everyone's different. So, well, some, most of the time, I mean, you got all these different things going on and who does anybody keep track of that? Like, does anybody sit there and go, okay, what's the interaction with this drug and this drug together? You know what I mean? That is a whole.
Me as well. Like, people would look at ingredients. Say you were on a weight loss journey or you were on a, some sort of diet. You would go to the supermarket and most people would read a label, right? Most won't, because the way they market and advertise sometimes is enough, right? They go, it's got like a 5-star rating. It's got the word health in it. It's got the word organic in it. It looks appealing and, oh, it must be healthy, right? It's like when you see milk that has added vitamin D, you look in the ingredients, it says milk, that's pasteurized, homogenized, but where's the vitamin D? It says added vitamin D. There's no vitamin D in the ingredients. So, you know, we don't know because they don't list a lot of things. So it's interesting that people would accept particular things and allow their body to ingest certain things without looking and asking for the ingredients.
But you'll probably find that if you examine some of these, or pretty much all of these medications, they'll have written on the packet somewhere, please consult your doctor before you take them. And that pretty much clears them from from any responsibility.
Yeah, there's always a disclaimer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
This stuff is poison.
The doctor's supposed to know what schedule of medication that you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So he can work out the equation of whether or not you can or can't take it, compatible with your other medications or not. It's their responsibility to do that.
Yeah, I did see it again. This was on my Telegram where this doctor posted. It was from X. You know, they said. His name was Doctor something or other, and he said, "We all knew this." And I'm like, "Okay, you're admitting it that they all knew this, that you weren't supposed to take Tylenol with, especially after a vaccination, because because usually you get a fever or you get the pain, whatever, and." Something, I forget what it was that they said, it creates some heating, and it makes the vaccine ingredients like more potent or something like that. Like it makes them, you know, and you're talking heavy metals and the aluminum and all the crap.
Yeah, it's like when they say don't take medication with alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, I've just pulled out a packet of Panadol, right? Paracetamol 500 is what it says on there.
Paracetamol.
Right? And it's like paracetamol 500 milligrams, antipyretic and analgesic is the purpose, right? Temporary relief of pain and discomfort associated with arthritis, muscular and neuralgic conditions. Headache reduces fever. Warnings. Do not take with other products containing paracetamol unless advised to do so by a doctor or pharmacist. Do not give to children under 7 years except on medical advice. Do not give for longer than 48 hours at a time for children and adolescents aged between 7 and 17 unless advised by a doctor. And then
that's what is that one dose, which is the maximum of 2 tablets, right?
Yeah. So it says here, keep to recommended dose. I'll tell you what the dosage is in a minute. Okay. So the adults and children So children is 12 years and over is 1 to 2 tablets every 4 to 6 hours with water as required, maximum 8 tablets in 24 hours. Children 7 to 12 years, 1 to 2 tablets. Maybe it means half. I think it's half to one tablet every 4 to 6 hours, with, and then maximum 4 tablets in 24 hours. But it says here.
But it also said previously that in that age group, they shouldn't take it more than once every 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then it says, if an overdose is taken or suspected, ring the Poisons Information Centre Australia or go to a hospital straight away. Even if you feel well because of the risk, delayed serious liver damage, this product contains potassium sorbate.
So but that wasn't on the ingredient.
Exactly. See?
Yeah, that's exactly
See?
What you just
that's
said
That's what I'm
before.
Talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Like, what was your ingredients? Paracetamol. And then it's like, but this contains potassium sorbate. Why is that on an ingredient?
Huh, interesting. Well, I just got a direct message from Susie. Shout out to Susie. She recommends I read this, and she sent me a website, and it's called the Hippocratic Oath Classic.
Go for it.
This is the first paragraph. I swear by Apollo the physician and Asclepius the surgeon, likewise Hygieia and Panacea, and call all the gods and goddesses to witness that I will observe and keep this underwritten oath to the utmost of my power and judgment. Okay, who are all those people, please?
Pagan gods.
Pagan gods.
Okay, and then it goes on. I will reverence my master who taught me the art equally with my parents. I will allow him things necessary for his support. I will consider his sons as brothers. I will teach them my art without reward or agreement, and I will impart all my acquirement, instructions, and whatever I know to my master's children. As to my own, and likewise to all my pupils who shall bind and tie themselves by a professional oath, but to no none else. Okay. With regard to healing the sick, I will devise and order for them the best diet according to my judgment and means, and I will take care that they suffer no hurt or damage, nor shall any man's entreaty prevail upon me to administer poison to anyone. Neither will I counsel any man to do so. Moreover, I will give no sort of medicine to any pregnant woman with a view to destroy the child. Further, I will comport myself and use my knowledge in a godly manner.
Wow. Okay. Is that the Hippocratic Oath, was it?
Okay, and there's more. I will not cut for the stone, but will commit that affair entirely to the surgeons. Whatsoever house I may enter, my visit shall be for the convenience and advantage of the patient, and I will willingly refrain from doing any injury or wrong from falsehood and from acts of an amorous nature, whatever may be the rank of those who it may be my duty to cure, whether mistress or servant, bond or free. This must have been written a long time ago. Whenever in the course of my practice I may see or hear, even when not invited, whatever I may happen to obtain knowledge of, if it be not proper to repeat it, I will keep sacred and secret within my own breast. If I faithfully observe this oath, may I thrive and prosper in my fortune and profession and live in the estimation of posterity or on breach thereof. May the reverse be my fate.
Unbelievable.
That Unbelievable. Is.
Yeah, Susie, can you pop that in our show notes, doll? That'll be awesome. But Hippocratic Oath,
Hippocrates.
Hippocrates.
Yeah. So his ethical code. Let's have a look. Where did it start? Embody the Fragment. Yep. So I found that one that you read out. And it was for, okay, Text of the Hippocratic Oath, circa 400 BC. And the translation was done in 1849 from Greek to English by Francis Adams. So I wonder, we'll find out in a minute.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com. You're on Coast to Coast with Beachy, Verilicious and D-Train. It's 26 September. 26 today. All right. I'm trying to find out about this.
I posted that in the show notes. If you want to see that, it's from the University of, where did it say? Alabama, I think.
Yeah. But if you guys, the ones who are listening, if you actually go into Encyclopedia Britannica, if you look up Hippocrates, it's there. His oath is there under his heading. It gives you there. Very interesting why they would refer to, but I want to find out what gods they're referring to, because it would have been the Greek gods, obviously, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, of course.
Well, wasn't he Greek, Hippocrates?
He was Greek, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And 400 BCE was before Alexander the Great and all that. So it was pretty early on. I think it was about 100 years before Alexander, wasn't it? He was 300. That's going from memory. I'll stop talking and Google that one.
Yeah. So it says earliest surviving copy of that oath was circa AD 275. So the oldest extant version dates to roughly the 10th and the 11th century, held at the Vatican Library. Good old Pope. So the commonly cited version dated
keep all the secret to files there,
1595 appears in Koine Greek with a Latin translation. So first do no harm. First do no harm. It doesn't say look at the dollar sign. Jeez.
But they don't take that anymore, do they?
No.
That's a good question.
But it says here,
it doesn't matter if they do, because it's not in our legal system. So
No. But the context of it would be like, you know, providing poisonous drugs that would certainly have been viewed as immoral by contemporary physicians if it resulted in murder. However, the absolute ban described in the oath also forbids euthanasia. Several accounts of ancient physicians willingly assisting suicides have survived. Multiple explanations of the prohibition of euthanasia in the oath have been proposed. It's possible that not all physicians swore the oath, or that the oath was seeking to prevent wildly held concerns that physicians should employed by political could be employed as political assassins. Ooh, that's interesting. So this is under everything explained. You can have a look at this. It's on everything.explaintoday.today. You can look some of this stuff up. It's quite interesting. Like when you go, if you have to go back and you want to hold people accountable for all these things, it's changed. It's unbelievable.
Well, because they're protected under their bosses. I mean, the administration, the people, the money people. I mean, I don't know if you, I remember probably like at least 20, 25 years ago now, there was a lot of hospital shows on. And I remember,
you know, they were always having to struggle between, you know, what they wanted to do and what the, you know, administration, oh, we can't spend the money on that. It was always about, you know, the bottom line. And they would always discuss, you know, the treatments and their insurance. And if, you know, it was, I don't know, it was just always so much drama around that. And there was a show at, can't even remember the name now, where there was these two young people and they were always doing stuff that they weren't supposed to. And, you know, they were doing all this behind the back of the administrators, because they knew that, you know, if they gave there was this one episode where they were, one of the doctors was doing an experiment with all these kids, and they were like, you know, I guess experimenting with a new drug or something. I can't remember what it was. And it was just interesting the way that these younger doctors were like interfering and telling them, don't take this. This is going to be bad for you and blah, blah, blah.
Remember the show House? That was a bit like that as well.
Yeah. I didn't watch that one.
What
but
was the
that
one that George Clooney was on?
No, that was
that was a soap opera. That was like Melrose Place, man. That wasn't like
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Who was that? That was Patrick Duffy or something. I can't remember.
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, those were McSteamy or McDreamy.
McDreamy and McSteamy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the blonde guy came in. Oh, my goodness.
No, the blonde chick. She did a few movies as well. What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember now.
She's doing an ad here at the moment where she goes, I used to be a doctor, and the kid goes.
Oh, yeah, Catherine Heigl.
That's right.
Yeah, that's funny. But I was just reading about how the oath has been modified numerous times, because it did say that the oath continued to be in use in the Benzatine Christian world, with its references to pagan deities replaced by a Christian preamble, as in the 12th century manuscript pictured in the shape of a cross, right? Is it when you see the cross with the snake in it or something like that? And then it said the most significant revisions of the first draft in 1948 by the World Medical Association, called the Declaration of Geneva. So during the post-World War, it's the Second World War, and immediately after its foundation, the WMA showed concern over the state of the medical ethics in general and over the world. So they took up the responsibility for setting ethical guides for the world's physicians. So they changed it. So in 1960, the oath was changed to require utmost respect for human life from its beginning, making it more secular obligation, not to be taken in the presence of any gods, but before only other people. So when the oath was rewritten in 1964, that was done by Louis, oh my God, his name is Louis Lasagna, are you kidding me? Academic Dean of the School of Medicine at Tufts University. The prayer was omitted, and the version had been widely accepted and is used today in a lot of schools, medical schools in the United States. Unbelievable.
And Marvel supervision. Supervillain.
Okay, well, there's
Louis
Susie
Lasagna.
Just posted Asclepius, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Asclepius, ancient Greek, is a hero and god of medicine in ancient Greek religion and mythology. Mm. However, if you look at the picture of him, he's got a snake around his staff.
Yeah, yeah, which is the medical symbol.
No, the medical symbols. The,
it's got two snakes.
It's the two snakes, which looks like a strand of DNA,
as well.
Or the what do you call it? The tree of death.
We're not going to go there because you know why? It looks like a reptilian. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah,
that goes back to our conspiracy there. The reptilian.
All the way back. Back to the reptiles.
We're back to the reptiles. Oh, that is hilarious. But let's go back to that. Let's finish. Are we finished with that? I just want to finish off the last.
One more thing. One more thing, though, before we go on about the steak around the stick. There's a Dr. Artis who constantly talks about a lot of the pharmaceuticals have snake venom in them, which snake venom is poison, right? So, there's that. So,
can we go back to stupid dope? Number 10, reptilian shapeshifters still run the world.
That's hilarious. List you read out before, I was like, that was the FEMA one. It's like, man, 2005 called and wants their conspiracy theory back. Seriously, the FEMA camps? Seriously.
Yeah, that's the long-running one, yeah. No, but these are talking about what's being brought back up, right?
Really?
So these are the viral.
Talking about FEMA camps.
It's coming back up. Okay. So I don't know. It's come up on Stupid Dope. So
it's
let's
all
see what
the
else.
Conspiracies are not I've conspiracies got, after oh, wow. all. They're hey, all coming I've true.
I've got one for you, V. Is this one on the list? 9/11 was an inside job. Was that one? Is that on
the
list?
Oh,
man.
Finish the list because it's 20. So we're at 15 here.
Right, go on, then.
UFO truth is still being hidden. All right, so we're still talking about the alien technology once again. Could have been the flying,
Drones. The aliens. Drones are on the border with Russia in Poland.
Oh, and I apparently saw a UFO, but it was turned out to be the moon over the river. So,
well, it was a USO. It was a UFO, legitimately, until we figured
legitimately.
Out what it was.
We had the strings falling from the sky at my house.
Yeah, exactly.
The babies.
Here we go. Mainstream media is an elite propaganda tool.
Now that's not a
significant portion of online population distrust mainstream news, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we all know that. Okay, here we go. Deep state control is real.
Oh, my God. The deep state.
All right. False flag attacks are orchestrated events.
Oh, well, there you go.
There we go. Well, we kind of know how this works because, with gun control, surveillance laws, all that kind of stuff.
Half of that list has been the Alex Jones show for the last 20 years.
Well, that's probably where he got it from. Global surveillance is far more advanced than we think.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I just saw on the news, the whole cameras that we have, that look right into your car to make sure you're not on the phone or eating. Apparently, you get a fine for that.
We've driven through a couple of those this week.
Oh, unbelievable. Population control by design. Vaccines, sterilization campaigns. We know about that.
The medical and
that's it.
Industry for the last hour.
But if we go back to all that though, let's think how all of these are psyops, psychological operations. Jennifer Richards, she wrote an article called Psychological Operations Shape Our Perception and How to Break Free. And she just talks about what the PSYOPs, psychological operations were and are, strategies to designed to influence emotions, beliefs, and behaviors using psychological techniques. Originally developed for military and intelligence purposes, PSYOPs have expanded into politics, marketing, media, and everyday social influence. Yes, it has. So the brief history that she gave us was ancient psychological warfare, tactics like propaganda, fear-mongering, deception date back to civilizations like Rome and China. Sun Tzu's The Art of War, emphasizing using psychology to weaken enemies. World wars and Cold War, governments used leaflets, radio broadcasts and stage events to influence soldiers and civilians. We were talking about that, Beachy, remember, from before television. And then modern applications today, PSYOPs are used in political campaigns, corporate marketing and media to shape public opinion, drive consumer behavior and even destabilize societies. 100% modern applications today is what we're seeing everywhere, everywhere. And it's total manipulation. And it's been embedded in everyday life. Everyday life. So through our media, through social media, through advertising, through politics, you've got your sensationalism, which is the news and media manipulation, selective reporting, repetition and conditioning, right? So those messages that are repeated constantly to make them feel true over time. The social media and algorithmic control. So we all know algorithms. Whatever we click on, you know, we've talked about like things that pop up. You might say something, look at something, and it's in front of you. Like something's listening, right? So we've got echo chambers, which is algorithms that show us content that reinforce our existing beliefs and creating ideological bubbles. So when you keep seeing that in a repetitive manner, you start to believe it, right? Fear-based mongering. Fear-based engagement, which we see a lot of that. Manufactured virality, so trends and movements, so they're all artificial as well. So you've got the political and corporate psyops, so the crisis exploitation, governments and organizations using fear. So she gives examples of terrorism, pandemics, economic crashes, and to push specific policies, which we see. Divide and conquer, which we see. There's a lot of that, divide and conquer, because it's like you have to, they want you to pick a side, the political factions. Consumer manipulation. So they talk about scarcity, exclusivity, and emotional appealing to drive spending and loyalty brands, right? So I see that in things that I do when I work as well, being in the retail environment. That's definitely 100% their manipulation. And then she talks about also how to protect yourself from psyops. So learn how to develop critical thinking, question the headlines and the emotional appeals, look for who benefits from specific narrative, be skeptical of the information that provokes for extreme fear or outrage, diversify your information, regulate your own emotions, strengthen real life connections. Say this, get out there, get off the devices, go and have a look at real things, go and don't get trapped in the digital world and arguing with people and things that just have no purpose whatsoever. Build your local network to resist the societal division, right? Research independently. There's heaps of sources out there where you can look for original stuff. Which have maybe there's scientific things behind it, anything that's verifiable that has got to verify their credibility. There's heaps there, you know. So her final thoughts on what she wrote about this was that the psyops are powerful, but knowledge is power. So the more we understand how psychological manipulation works, the more we can reclaim control over our own thoughts and actions. By questioning narratives and regulating emotions and seeking balanced information, we can resist manipulation and make informed and independent decisions. So that's good. That's one thing to keep it, you know, to keep people from being divided and arguing about things. Because at the end of the day, it is a bit of a divide and conquer. They really want you to choose a side with things, you know. And like I was saying with certain things, it's best not to maybe give an opinion. On certain things, maybe say I have maybe a belief system or I can share ideas around which are great for discussion, but things that aren't going to start arguments, you know. And we see that during the pandemic was a fantastic way of where divide and conquer happened, where arguments started. And now all these latest things that we've been seeing on social media, on the news media outlets and stuff like that, I mean, like you were saying, Beachy, you know, people having Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, this is all fed. This is all fed. People are starting to believe, they get all emotional over things that really, really, what for? Like, what is it to you? You know? So they're the kind of things that that you really got to take a step back and think about. But what I feel is that there's a lot of people out there that just become, we become disconnected as well.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Truthmeets.com, coast to coast with Beachy, Marilicious and D-Train. We're just going to finish off today. I mean, it's a big topic of all the things that we've been seeing. We've seen things fall out of the sky, things, real things that have, poor things have washed up on shore. Currently, it's still nice outside, but they did certainly stripe the sky, something I'm going to have to photograph later.
I saw when I was walking, I saw there was one stripe that had spread out and gravity waves was in the stripe. So how's that? It's getting the pulse as well.
Yeah, getting zapped left, right and centre. Yeah. I better believe it.
Is that what did the aurora borealis?
No, that's the Northern Lights, Beachy.
Yeah, it's the aurora australis in Australia. In the southern hemisphere, it's aurora australis. And in the northern hemisphere, it's aurora borealis. So the thing is aurora.
Yeah, which they think that's generally caused by the sun flares or something.
It's a dust particle, space dust coming through the atmosphere, apparently.
Yeah.
And the electromagnetic field and all that sort of stuff. So
So they say. But we did go to the Aeros. A space museum when
we've seen all the spaceships, the real legit ones and everything. Awesome. It's amazing.
A touched moon rock. A touched moon rock.
Comet, the tail of a comet. And
tail of a comet was like jelly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? That is like jelly, hard silicon with a bit of glitter through it.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was. But you had to use your hand in this. You had to put your hand in this really weird sort of box to touch it as well. Like they were protecting you from contamination.
You actually touched it. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't like contagious or had some kind of moon disease?
No, look, no, I'll tell you.
I must have reptilian space blood because, you know, it didn't affect me at all.
The Space and Aero Museum was awesome, right? But it was all just bullshit. But we've talked about this on other shows before about like the Apollo spaceships and all that. There's no way you're getting in and out of those things with a space.
Well, how is it they can have them right down there in Australia when they were up here? They were here at the space. We went to the observatory. They have like a big telescope, you can go watch things, you know, comets or whatever, stardust. And they had some replicas, I guess, of those. And they're not the real thing, right? But.
Oh, no. Yeah. There was heaps of
them. They have them all over.
No. But we saw, it was in the US when we saw them.
They don't have them down here.
Oh, okay.
We made a pit stop in Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm like I said, I'm sure they got copies because, like I said, they've got one here in California in the observatory and, you know, they got them over there in D.C. too. I'm sure they're in other states as well.
I really want to see your space fighter as well.
How many Apollos was there?
Who knows?
Because was the one that was supposed to have went to the moon was number 12 or something?
It wasn't 13.
No, 13 was the Tom Hanks one. Yeah. No, there was
that's a good question. I don't know. You know, I probably wasn't even born yet. I don't really even know when all that stuff happened.
And then there was heaps of different space shuttles too. Because there was Voyager and there was Columbia and there was what was the one that blew up? Challenger?
Yeah, I just remember that one, the one that blew up in the sky. Remember, they were saying that the pieces were falling in California. I was like looking for the pieces.
What?
It took off coming out of my head. People's bodies, I don't know.
it took off in Cape Canaveral and it blew up a few seconds after takeoff. So how could the pieces be falling in California?
Oh, maybe it's the other one then. There was another one that maybe it was coming back into...
Columbia. That it was on re-entry and it had a loose tile or something on the bottom
of
it.
I remember that one.
I forgot about that one. Because Columbia was the first space shuttle. There was Moonraker was the first one, sorry.
I've jumped into NASA's website here.
Yeah.
So you've got the Apollo missions was Apollo 1, which was NASA's giving me the see you later. Web page is now not available. Okay. Doesn't want me to know. Good thing I'm on DuckDuck. All right.
Censoring in.
Yeah, I know.
In the middle of your inquiry.
Exactly. How many Apollo missions are there? All right. Well, maybe Wikipedia might just give it to me because NASA might not allow me to do it.
Ask it anything. How many Apollo missions were there? How many? I'll type it because I'm talking on this. So I'm not doing two things. How many Apollo?
There's 11
missions.
But I don't think they went by numbers like 1, 2, 3 because it was Apollo 1, Apollo 7. Really?
Yeah, they did. There were 17 Apollo missions, including both crewed and uncrewed flights, and connected with NASA between 1961 and 1975. This includes uncrewed missions, 6 test flights. That was Apollo 4, 5, and 6. Crewed missions, 11 missions. Apollo 1, which was the ground test tragedy, and Apollo 7 through 17. Moon landings, 6 successful moon landings, Apollo 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Some missions, like Apollo 13, were crewed but didn't land on the moon due to technical issues. Oh, that makes it so much more believable, doesn't it? If you want specifics on any mission, let me know. Okay, no worries, Grok.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Grok's actually, great. Britannica, the Britannica gives you the timeline of the Apollo space missions. It also even gives you a beautiful chart. Yeah. I wonder if I can download that chart and I'll post it up later. With those missions, mission control. Yeah. We have a fascination with space, don't we? I think we do.
Well, you know, I did see a post recently that NASA was going to do something, or what did it say? I can't remember. I just tend to scroll right past those.
And you can never get it back either.
Yeah, and then you get, it's like, okay, where was that? But... okay. I don't know. Anyway, it was something though, and I just laughed when I read it because it's like, okay, really? I can't remember what it was saying though. Something about UAPs.
Yeah, I've got a conspiracy theory while we're on the topic. I'm just going into my Grok history and all the little conversations that I've had with the AI. And I said, do you remember the NASA Challenger disaster in 1986? And Grok says, yes, I have information about that, and gives it to me. And then my next comment was, you are aware that the 7 dead astronauts are still alive and using their own names within the community. And then Grok said, here we go, no. That's a persistent conspiracy theory without any credible evidence. The 7 astronauts aboard the space shuttle Challenger, Francis R. Dick Scobie, Michael S. Smith, Ronald E. McNair,
Ellison S. Anyway, it lists all their names. Tragically died on January 28, 1986, when the vehicle disintegrated 73 seconds after launch due to a failure in an O-ring seal on a solid rocket booster, exacerbated by unusual cold weather. Their remains were recovered from the Atlantic Ocean floor over the following weeks, positively identified through forensic analysis, cremated. Of course, they were cremated. They were cremated before they even hit the ground, by the sounds of it.
And I was going to say, exactly. Yeah, how did they find all these bodies like in the ocean?
Like the
all in one piece, really?
9/11, but in the Arlington National Cemetery, in a then it says, here we go. This is the interesting part. The claim that they're still alive and using their own names within the community stems from a hoax that surfaced online around 2015, relying on cherry-picked photos and unrelated people who share similar names or superficial resemblances, often relatives or complete coincidences. For example, and then it lists their names, yeah? So these lookalikes are just that, unrelated individuals, often siblings or common names, and their theory ignores timelines, biographies, and records. Fact checkers across the spectrum, from left-leaning PolitiFact or centrist Reuters and right-wing Snopes, have repeatedly debunked it as baseless. There we go. And it goes more into detail, but that was, you get the idea from that. I've had some good conversations with the AI. It's pretty cool, actually.
Have you tried that, Beachy?
I you know, I was just going to say, I don't even know what Grok is. Well, I've heard it. I've heard people talk about it, but I have no clue what that even is.
Grok's like ChatGPT, but it's the Elon Musk's one.
Oh, okay.
There's different.
So does that mean it's better?
No, it's just different. If you ask Grok and ChatGPT the same question, you'll get pretty much the same answer.
How do you access these
things? Well, you just download the app and it's free. We're up to Grok 4 now.
So you got
to
get an app. It's an app.
Yeah, just download. Just go into the store or the Play, Google Play or whatever it's called, and download the app for free. It's all free, man. It's 2025, PT. Get with the program.
There's no such thing as free. There's got to be some catch there.
Yeah. Didn't you guys do a show on that?
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Maybe we should.
That's a good topic for a show. Shouldn't have said it out loud. But,
Well, we did do a show on AI, but we didn't. I mean, it would be interesting to.
That one didn't go to air, remember?
Well, we could do another one about Grok.
Maybe Grok could be on the show with you guys.
And you know, answer questions. Went, right? Well, maybe Grok can just do the show.
What platform are we on?
Discord. Oh.
Yeah.
Truthmeets.com.
Yeah, we'll even pick it. What do you like? Because Grok, would you like a real snobby, pommy female? Because you can program it to have whatever, like it, or you could get it to speak like some, like Chinese dude.
Okay, whatever you think sounds good for this show. But okay, I found my NASA news here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this will go great with your list at the beginning of the show. Breaking: NASA is weighing the option of using a nuclear strike on a city-killing asteroid that may be on a collision course with the moon.
Oh my goodness, that's the movie Armageddon. Bruce Willis.
It's another moon theme. We started off with the moon thing.
isn't that movie with Bruce Willis and what's his name? Ben Affleck. Yeah, Armageddon. Sure, that is. They love peddling that thing over and over again. Yeah.
Well, gee, maybe they're they planted a little predictive programming in us.
Maybe.
I don't think I ever saw that movie.
But why do they have to blow it up? Why don't they just leave it alone?
Because it's going to get close to the moon, apparently.
Yes. See all the craters on the moon? Wasn't that supposed to be created by the asteroids hitting it? Let's see what happens.
It says it's a city-killing asteroid, which, are there cities on the moon?
Well, I don't know. According to H.G. Wells, there is. There are, and if you believe the conspiracy theories, there's cities on the far side of the moon.
We just can't see them. Yeah. Hey, 1984's calling and they want their book back.
Nah. 1984? That was about Big Brother.
Classic. It goes to show, doesn't it? Anyway, it's all good. Anyway, whether it is moon this, moon that, that's where we're at. But anyway, we're going to round up today. So, Beachy?
Man, it's been like 6 months or more since I've been on this. I even forgot what the platform was called.
I've got a few unanswered messages that I need to reply to.
I've just seen them.
Yeah. You train on a separate timeline.
You've been busy having a life, right? I mean, that's what we do. Better than anything.
That's what we do. Yeah. Right. Just having fun and enjoying it, you know. It's been pretty good. But moon this, moon that, Apollo this. Geez, we've got the Greek gods happening. We've got everything going on.
I think the music for today is going to have to be because it's got to have something to do with Beachy's spiders from Mars.
Yeah, probably.
I had a thought earlier about what song we were going to use, and now I totally forgot. What were we talking about? The poisonous Tylenol. Let's see what.
We'll shut off the show. You guys are going to have to listen to the music on the upload. So, Beachy, so good. We will come back and forth when we are free.
It was a good show. We didn't have scripts. Yeah. We didn't even have a plan. It was just off the top of my head.
Well, I was on a walk and V said, I'm about to go into the green room, and I'm like, I might jump on.
Yeah, he's not. The man on the ground. Beautiful. Say good day to everyone because I think there's a heap of...
Because it was too windy down there.
Yeah. Well, there's heaps of people that have missed us on Discord, and yes, we are still here, but our life has been busy as usual, and when we get the free time, we will jump on. We'd like to... We would, and Beachy's busy as well. So, you can think whatever, but we are here. we're still beachside. We're still enjoying it.
It's good
to get on the chat.
What does that mean?
Oh, who knows? People think we've disappeared. We have come back. I'm back from the moon. Okay.
We've been at the moon.
We've been to the moon, if you want to believe that. But, summer's coming. Summer's almost here anyway. But we shall see. Winter. Our summer, winter.
I'm already tanned up. Man, I got cooked today. It was great.
Yeah. And he smells like coconut. So,
Extra virgin coconut.
Get the extra virgin coconut. Make sure it's certified organic as well.
That sounds like the beach, yeah. The coconut.
The coconut, well, yeah.
Very good. Okay, it you guys. We'll try to be back again soon,
guys, on Coast to Coast. Beachy's Beachy, your show. So truthmeets.com, you can jump on and have a look at some of our chat podcasts we have there. So there's Coast to Coast, which is our show, Beachy and Verilicious. Beachy has her Remember Who You Are show, and I also have the In the Fitting Room with Verilicious.
Mine is taking a bit of a hiatus. I've been on that one as well.
We've had a bit of hiatus with quite a few of our shows. The boys have been going gung-ho with theirs, which has been pretty good. We'll find out after the break.
Always rock and roll.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
Truthmeets.com and Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious. We will catch you next time round, but listen for our upload or watch. You can't actually watch it, but it'll be listening to our upload when it comes through. We will have a secret song on the end there. But thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy your day, night, afternoon, whatever it is, and we will see you next time round.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo. Like some cat from Japan, he could lick 'em by smiling. He could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man. Well hung in snow white tan. So where were the spiders while the fly tried to break our bones? Or just the God give